Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 92 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
Hey, guys.
And it is New York Comic Con week. It's finally here. So excited.
New York Super Week, right?
New York Super Week, yeah, is the name that basically New York Comic Con has overtaken New York City, and there's just so many events that they have rightfully so created like a whole week. So I basically, my social calendar is full, like from today forward. There's a new thing going on. I've got tickets to see Marvel's podcast get recorded tonight on Tuesday. Tomorrow, I won tickets to see Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang talk about their new Image Comics series at Midtown Comics.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, very excited about that. And I found out Greg Katzman, who you might remember as he used to write for Comic Vine. He's a really good writer for Comic Vine. I've met him a few times. Nice guy. I noticed he didn't have any like posts on Comic Vine recently, like whenever I would check. And he has a job at Midtown now. He's like one of their marketing managers.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, New York Comic Con is only a few days away. And like, this is like Christmas for me. Like Christmas and New Year is all wrapped into one. Did you ever read The Night Circus, Dave? It's a novel, not a graphic novel.
Yeah, no, when you said it, I was like, that's a novel.
And, that's a book without pictures.
What the yeah, no, as soon as you said it, and I was like, did I read that? Because I know it's a novel.
When I read The Night Circus, I was like, oh, like the way the fans of The Night Circus in the book like converge on The Night Circus every time it comes around is how I feel about New York Comic Con. And then I'm like, both exhausted and sad when it leaves. So next week when we're recording, expect me to be both melancholy and like completely worn out.
Nice.
Yeah. So New York Comic Con is here. Is there anything you're especially excited for this New York Comic Con?
I'm excited to go to the Superman Batman panel on Saturday because the producer who produced every single Batman movie since the Tim Burton Batman movie. Right. So that's every Batman movie except for the like 40 serials and the like the Adam West Batman movie.
That's Michael Uslan, right?
Yes. Okay. He is big news for this movie. He's dropping a big bomb about Superman Batman or Superman versus Batman Dawn of Justice.
Nice. And that's on Saturday.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. Outside of that, I'm super excited because we're going to see, Comic-Cons are always fun because, you know, I get to see Greg and Sarv and Nick, and this time Ali's going to be there.
Yeah, with his girlfriend and his brother, right?
Yeah, and so I don't get to see Ali very much, and we've been friends since high school, so it's always great when I get to see him, so I'm really pumped, and I haven't seen his brother in years.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome that you haven't seen him, but awesome that you really
Oh, great. Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome, except that guy. I'm really excited. There is my friend Marlene, who you might know her from Twitter at I Like Comics Too. She has a cool-looking panel on Saturday called Using Tumblr to Sell Your Idea. It's from 1:30 to 2:30. In 1B03.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
And it's basically, it's got a nice lineup. Kieran Gillen's gonna be there. You know, he has his Tumblr blog that basically serves as like a director's cut to all his comics, where it's all behind the scenes commentary on like what went into this panel and like what he was thinking about when he was writing this and even like what he was listening to. And Katie Cook is gonna be there, and also the artist of All New Ghostwriter, Felipe Smith. So she's gonna be talking to the three of them. And this, like, this panel looks awesome. It is conflicting with the Batman writers panel, or like the Batman creative team panel with Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Peter Tomasi, Tom King, Tim Seeley, James.
Oh, I think we're gonna call Peter Tomasi the Tuesday Night Comics
most valuable writer, MVW.
Yeah. Or the man crush of the year.
Yeah, and that is true. I think last year it was James Robinson. Like when we saw him at New York Comic Con last year, I told James Robinson that if he is ever having a bad day, to like tune into our most recent podcast whenever like he has a new book coming out, and like we will just uplift his spirits with our just praise for him. And he was like, I actually might do that.
I don't know. I need it right now.
Yeah. If I see Peter Tomasi at the convention, I would probably tell him the same thing. I was like, if you ever want to hear people gush about you, just like tune into a random episode of the podcast, because he writes so many books. Like every week, it's a new book coming out.
Yeah, I actually have a really cool Peter Tomasi story. I don't think I ever shared.
No. Okay. What is it?
So like when I was in college, I had a speech writing class, and it was like a how to. I had to do like interview someone in the industry on a how to thing.
Right.
So I was like, man, I want to like interview like an editor about, you know, how to work in comics and this stuff. So like I dug up a bunch of like reports and stuff. And it was like when Starman was ending, and he was the editor. And so I called him up. I called like DC's office up, and I was like, hi, could I speak to Peter Tomasi? And they're like,
sure.
And they're like, sure, what's this regarding? I was like, an interview?
Like, with a question mark at the end.
And so they're like, all right. And so he's like, hi, this is like, you know, Pete or whatever. And I was like, hi. And then I explained, and he's like, yeah, I don't have time now, but if you want to call back and like, you know, he's like, how about like Friday at this time? I said, great, I'll do it. And like, I just had like maybe like three questions for him. And
right.
Like it was just super nice that it was just like, you know, it was freshman year of college.
Yeah, so you're like super nervous about it too.
Right, right. It wasn't like, you know, like was like, eh, whatever. I'm a grown up now. I'm like, I'm still a kid and I'm nervous about college. And now I'm calling DC Comics.
Right.
And so he was really, you know, gracious about it. And so that was, you know, that was awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I have I'm weirdly connected to Peter Tomasi in like a 6 degrees of separation kind of way, in that my brother, I think, works with his wife's cousin. Like it's like, do you know, my brother was like, do you know who Peter Tomasi is? I was like, oh yeah, he's a great writer. I love his stuff. He's like, oh,
have you listened to our podcast?
Right. I think my brother like may have been at a barbecue with him, because like his coworker was having a barbecue. So his coworker's wife's cousin came with her husband, who's Peter Tomasi. I'm not sure. I don't remember like what exactly it was, but I was like, oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
I was like, I would love to hang out with Peter Tomasi in a barbecue. Peter Tomasi, if you're ever listening, I like hamburgers. You can chill.
Yeah, I like all types of things you can put on barbecues. If you're eating shish kebabs, I'm in.
I'll do hot dogs, yeah, as long as there's sour cream. Yeah, all right, even just as long as there's mustard. But I really would, Peter, if you could make sauerkraut when I come over for hot dogs, I'd really appreciate it. Like, that would let me know you cared and that you listened. Yeah, so New York Comic Con, I'm excited to share a hot dog with Peter Tomasi. I don't think he knows about this yet. The other thing that is conflicting with that panel is the Clueless 20th anniversary panel, which the writer and director of Clueless, Amy Heckerling, is going to be there to talk about the movie. I love Clueless. But and I love Peter Tomasi's writing. I will be at the Using Tumblr to Sell Your Idea panel, though, because I think that's just a cooler concept. Like the Batman panel, that's going to be on Comic Book Resources and Bleeding Cool and Comic Vine. Like, you could go on any comic book website and read about that. The Clueless thing, like, yeah, it's going to be cool, but nothing that you probably wouldn't know from like the Clueless DVD's director's commentary.
Right.
This actually looks like both a concept that sounds great and bringing in create comic book creators who use Tumblr and social media so effectively. So
right, and I think you have like a built-in community on Tumblr, and you know, I used to have that Earth New Earth 2 Tumblr, which is
right.
Still is in existence but stagnant, and I get like new followers like every day. So I think like it's a really good way to like, you know, have people follow you, and you know, as opposed to Twitter, you have like, you know, bigger posts and
right.
More you could say, and so and there's a lot of like passionate people on there. So I think it's like, as far as like people talking about grassroots stuff, I think that Tumblr is like a really great way to go.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And they also have, Tumblr now has, like, I believe comics.tumblr, which is really cool. They have cool editorial features about comic books on there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's definitely worth checking out. All right, so, one thing I wanted to talk about, like, right before we started recording, I saw this on Twitter. Dynamite announced that Red Sonja is ditching her metal bikini. You know, it's like, whoa, huge news. Red Sonja is ditching the metal bikini. And I was like, that's good, because it doesn't make any sense to have a chainmail bikini, because you're just, like, exposing skin. It makes sense if your market is 14-year-old boys. But then I looked at the picture, and she's, like, standing next to her horse, and she's wearing, like, now a chainmail, like, one-piece bathing suit.
Yeah, and it looks, like, kind of in tatters a little bit, too.
And she's standing in the snow. Like, clearly, okay, she's wearing what looks like Ugg boots, but still, she's standing in the snow.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I mean,
I remember there being, like, a New Teen Titans issue from the 1980s where they went to the Arctic, and I think Robin, like, might have been in the snow, like, in his, you know, his Speedo and, like, elf slippers, but he had, like, cold air, like, coming out of his mouth. And I was like, at least they're acknowledging he's cold. She's just, like, all comfortable. Like, yeah, it's cold out.
Yeah. Isn't she from, like, the Conan universe?
Yes.
I mean, at least Conan runs around, like, half naked too. So, like,
yeah, that is true.
At least, you know, they're equal opportunity.
Conan at least is smart enough though to stay in the warm climate. She's like traveling northbound.
Right. Yeah. You would think, you know, yeah, I mean, I think Red Sonja or any of those like Conan or whatever, you could take a really good hint from Game of Thrones on HBO, because that's a lot of skin is shown on that show.
Right.
But it's also like, you know, when Jon Snow is walking around in the
like snow, the wall.
Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah, he's wearing like clothes. Layers and layers of fur.
Right. And you know, you've seen almost every character on that show at least half naked.
Yeah, and well, the funny thing about this is what I thought was that, you know, it was like breaking news, Red Sonja gets a new costume, and I was like, what's the circulation numbers on a Red Sonja comic book these days? Like, what is the fan base of Red Sonja?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like lonely middle-aged men and lonely teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's like some diehard fans of Conan who like love the history, who read it, but like, yeah, breaking news, Red Sonja has a one piece.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, I don't get it. So, and anything else going on this week?
Well, I read some news that DC has announced a double-sized six-issue miniseries called Suicide Squad Most Wanted, and it features Deadshot and Katana.
Oh, nice.
And so it's like Deadshot and Katana aren't working together. It's like two separate stories. And so Katana's story will be written by her co-creator, Mike W. Barr, with art by, here we go, getting ready to butcher some names.
Nice.
Diognes Neves?
Neves?
I have no idea. And so anyway, so Katana attempts to prevent Cobra from taking over an entire nation. Deadshot's story will be written by Brian Buccolato and with art by Victor Bogdanovic. And sorry, everyone. Where he faces his biggest assignment yet, to kill Lex Luthor. So these both sound really cool. I think Brian Buccolato is a pretty good writer. And I think it's awesome that Mike Barr is writing a Katana series. And this will start in, I think, December, January-ish. And so it should be all wrapped up, ready to be in trade for the Suicide Squad movie in August. And so that's, you know, DC's doing a smart thing here, you know, business-wise, but it also sounds like some cool stories. And also, I saw The Martian this week.
That's right. I'm going to see that tonight. Have you read the book?
No, I haven't.
I'm reading the book right now. I'm actually almost done with it. I'll probably finish it on the subway to the movie theater. My wife also read the book and is super excited to see it, partially because she has a huge crush on Matt Damon. But yeah, how was the movie? Because the book is awesome.
The movie was amazing. Like 4 out of 4 stars or okay. 5 out of 5, whatever star rating you have, it's the top.
Okay.
It's just a solid, great movie. Sarah and I came out and we were like, that was like, it had everything you wanted in a movie. It was funny. It was sad. It was tense. It was scary. It was, you know, Sarah bawled at the end, you know, like,
all right, enough. I don't want no more spoilers.
But yeah, so like, I feel like you kind of run the emotional gamut and Matt Damon carries the movie, obviously. And it's just, it's fantastic. It has a great cast too. Like it's,
Jon Jones is not in this at all though, right?
No. But the guy who wrote the first 2 episodes of Daredevil, and he was supposed to write the Sinister Six movie before the whole Marvel-Sony deal went down. He wrote this movie. His name is... why can't I think of his name? I forget his name. Sorry, but yeah, he wrote this movie. So there's like a slight comic book connection.
When you posted that, I was surprised. I was like, oh, wow. I had no idea that he had anything to do, you know, with comic books.
Yeah, and I think he left Daredevil to write the Sinister Six. And I heard somewhere that he's been, like, posting what the Sinister Six would have been. So I want to dig that up and read about it. So if anybody else wants to dig that up.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this news you told me today that Pepsi is planning to release like Back to the Future 2 inspired, like, I guess, bottles for their soda.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Unfortunately, it won't be out in time for New York Comic Con, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and kind of dopey.
Yeah, because I have a great Marty McFly cosplay that I would totally... like work into my New York Comic Con repertoire for the weekend.
Yeah, I have to send that to our friend Kyle, who is in love with Back to the Future 2.
Oh, how can he not be? It's a fantastic movie. It's an American treasure.
Well, I love it as well, but he thinks it's the best of the Back to the Futures.
I would probably agree with him.
You would?
Yeah, although the first one is amazing. But I think as a child, I liked the second one the best just because it was so cool, them going into the future and stuff. And they still went into the past. And I like the way that they edited in clips from the first movie into the second movie. But yeah, of course, the first movie is definitely the best one. The second one just has such a like firm grip on my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the first one, I think more adults appreciate. The second one, more children like would appreciate.
Right. Well, I like the first one. So you and Kyle are children.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there's no argument there. No, that's what I was saying. Yeah, so that's cool. So, Dave.
Yes.
A lot of comic books are coming out this week. How do you keep your $20?
I go 2 over.
Yeah, so I kept to under $20. Now, this is a part of the podcast we call The 20 for anybody who's new. We're going to talk about new comics that are coming out this week. And we're going to keep ourselves to a $20 budget, or for Dave, a $22 budget. I actually was like, I'm leaving books on the table because I would have gone well over $30 just because of like the quality of books that are out this week. And then also because of a couple of very high priced books that Marvel is like forcing down our throats in 1 week. I shouldn't say forcing down our throats, but come on, Marvel, $2 $6 comics in the same week.
Right. I have a similar issue with DC. So.
All right. So you want to get this started?
Yeah, let's do it. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first. The first book is the I briefly mentioned this as Paper Girls by Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang. $3 comic. This is easily the bargain of the week. It's a double-sized first issue for only $3. It is not a limited series. It is an ongoing series. Brian K. Vaughan writing, Cliff Chang doing the covers and the interiors. Yes, easily worth $3 and then some. They will both be at New York Comic Con because Cliff Chang is local and Brian K. Vaughan will be in town for New York Comic Con. This book is one that I like. I might actually buy the first issue in print, you know, in the hopes of getting this signed.
Oh, that's cool. That is a bargain. I don't know if I will partake in the purchase.
Interesting.
Because I do not like, I like Brian K. Vaughan's writing, but mm-hmm. I like it so much better in as chunks.
Gotcha.
As a trade. Yeah. So like, I think we've talked about this before. I started reading Ex Machina, as single issues, and I just got bored with it.
Yeah, I did not like Ex Machina in single issues, and I've never read it in trade, so I don't know if I'd like it any better in trades.
Well, I kind of feel like I would love it in trade because everything else that I've read of Brian K. Vaughan's reads so well in trade, but I was like, I need it because my favorite artist, one of my favorite writers, like, this is going to be great. Like, I love Tony Harris, and
yeah,
one of the things that I want to do in the next couple of years is read that, you know, all in trade form, or, you know, in one single swoop. I've been waiting for DC to put it all out, and there's like slowly putting the trades out in on a digital format. So
right.
Once that's all out, I think I'll grab that.
Now, so that's coming out from Image Comics. Jumping down to Marvel is the book I'm second most excited about. That's Secret Wars number 6. Finally getting a new issue of Secret Wars. The tagline on this is The Final Battle, but I believe Secret Wars is an 8-issue series, not a 6-issue series. And unfortunately, because of the delays, we're getting post-Secret Wars comics coming out, even though the series isn't over yet.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a great example of this in the past, if you do it the opposite way, you do Infinite Crisis, and then you have a artist rush through what you wanted to see Phil Jimenez do.
Right.
And you get like a weird ending
yes.
that they later like replace with Phil Jimenez artwork in the trade.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird decision for them to do, but it makes total sense.
Right, because they had the 1 year later jump, and it all like tied into 52, and so they needed to do that. Right. And so, like, I don't know if it's that important for Marvel. So, like, I think in a way, DC was like, you know, buy there, you know, like comic book writers are always, and creators are always like, buy it in single issues because it's more important to us to get the sales that way. If you wait for trade, we might not last that long. And,
right.
You know, but in a way, like DC was saying, like the trade is more important. I think I applaud Marvel for letting Assad Riddick do his the whole series. Yeah. And, you know, if it's a little spoilerish, I think if Secret Wars stands on its own as a great story, it doesn't matter if it's a little bit spoiled. I mean,
since it all takes place in an alternate universe, basically, or alternate Earth, anything post-Secret Wars, unless there's like a huge bomb being dropped in the final issue, it just looks like this. What we're getting is figuring out, okay, what's changed in the Marvel Universe after Secret Wars, which I think would have been a mystery after the final issue of Secret Wars anyway.
Right, right.
Kind of
right.
Like, you know, after the last issue of Flashpoint, what changed in the DC Universe.
Right, and I think Flashpoint still stands on its own as a great series.
Now, then I'm going to switch companies again, and the comic I'm third most excited about is Jughead number 1. A great creative team, Archie, like really applause worthy. Chip Zdarsky is writing it, and the art is by Erica Henderson, and the art looks great. And Chip Zdarsky, just from reading like his Tumblr posts, is hilarious. So I know him most from being the artist of Sex Criminals. I'm really looking forward to like reading his writing.
And he also is the writer slash.
Yeah,
or he's the writer of Howard the Duck, right?
Yes, he's also the writer of Howard the Duck, which I never got around to reading. But yeah, so this is not his first comics writing. And the Howard the Duck series is also a humor series. So, you know, he's definitely playing to his strengths. Zdarsky will be at New York Comic Con. He's getting in Friday morning. There is an Archie panel. Mark Waid will be on that panel. And looking at his Tumblr, it looks like he's got like 3 autograph sessions lined up at the Archie booth on Friday and then one on Saturday. And at one of those sessions, Erica Henderson will be there. So if you're buying this, if this is a book you're buying in print, you know, get it signed by both of them on Friday at New York Comic Con.
Awesome.
And then, so that's a $4 comic. That brings me up to $11. Jumping back to Marvel. Now, here is a hard thing. I couldn't decide, like, between Doctor Strange number 1, Amazing Spider-Man number 1, all new, all different Marvel point 1 number 1, most ridiculous title ever, and Invincible Iron Man number 1. I ended up going with Doctor Strange. So I don't remember the last time I was this excited about a Doctor Strange series. It was probably the last Doctor Strange series, which was Brian K. Vaughan's The Oath. But like Doctor Strange, never a character that I was really into. But this creative team, Jason Aaron and Chris Bachalo, like I'm all over it. And my thoughts basically is like, once again, I get excited for a Chris Bachalo comic that he's probably going to be off of in 6 issues. When he was on, I was like, yes, Chris Bachalo, Wolverine, the X-Men. Yes, I'm buying it every month. Put it on my sub list. And then, you know, 8 issues in, Nick Bradshaw was doing the art. And I was like, this is a big switch, but I'm in. And he came back for a couple of issues and then, you know, never came back to the book again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, so like I said, you know, I had like, so this brings me up to $15. That means I can't get Amazing Spider-Man number 1. It's a $6 comic. I can't get all new, all different Marvel point 1 number 1, but also a $6 comic. I could get Invincible Iron Man number 1, but I really think I'm Bendis out on Iron Man. Like he's written that character for so long now that,
right.
I was excited about it when they announced that special edition NYC. I'm just not excited for this book anymore. Now, granted, when I read this comic 6 months from now in Marvel Unlimited, I'm going to be amazed by how good it is and wonder why I didn't read it when it first came out. So my final book is going to be Telos number 1 from DC. This is really like...
I was calling him Telos.
Telos. Okay. I didn't know if it was Telos or Telos.
Was that Mark Waid comic, right?
I believe so.
Oh, why am I blanking on his name?
Mike Waringo? Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. So, like, this one has me intrigued. Like, I was not impressed with the Convergence main series, so that has it going against me going against it. But it's billed as an ongoing that has Telos trying to, like, learn his own history, which could be, like, a really interesting meta comic, or, like, could be boring and terrible.
Right. And It might be Telos. I just looked it up.
Okay. So Telos, not sure. Maybe we'll find that out this coming weekend at New York Comic Con. If I see Jeff King, that'll be the first thing I ask him. How do you pronounce this character's name?
Yes.
And I think this series has both, like if this was fantasy football, this would be a player that has like high upside, but also like a very low floor too. This could be like awesome, or it could be like, why didn't I get Invincible Iron Man number 1 instead?
Right. It is also in my 20.
Okay, cool.
It's not the first one in my 20, but I'd say it's the second one.
It's almost Telos almost got knocked out of my 20 repeatedly, and made it in for budgetary reasons. I'm excited for it. I'm intrigued by it. I shouldn't say I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you know, I think a good example is Pandora.
Okay, yeah.
Pandora was introduced at the end of Flashpoint. right. as this person who was like a mystery to the multiverse. And she played a big part in Geoff Johns' Forever Evil. And then she got her own series. And she was tied with the Phantom Stranger in The Question. And the more you got to know about the character, the less interesting she got. It's like the anti-Wolverine. You know, well, maybe not. I mean, I feel like some of...
Comparing this series to Pandora really actually... Okay, I'm moving into Spider Man into my 20s.
So, like, that's where I'm like, well, you know, like, Wolverine was always a mystery, and that was a cool thing about his character. And, you know, over, like, from the 70s to now, they've, like, you know, filled out his history a lot.
Right.
You learn, like, who he really was and all that kind of stuff. And some part of Origin, I'm like, I don't know if I even wanted to know all of this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so... I think it would be good to leave Pandora or some of these characters more like a mystery, because
that's where their intrigue comes from.
Yes, yes. So, Telos.
I'll be buying Telos this week. You'll be buying Telos.
Yeah, Telos. I'm interested to see what it's like. I like time travel stories. I'd have to say, if Dan Jurgens was writing this, I would be in.
You would be in? Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. If Dan Jurgens was writing it, I would probably definitely be out.
Hmm.
I'm on the Brett Breeding side of that argument. That's what we didn't talk about this week. Oh man, Brett Breeding came out and said, like, yeah, 'cause he was Dan Jurgens' inker on Superman in the 1990s.
Yeah, specifically. During the Death of Superman arc, which everybody's and their mother and their grandmother has purchased.
Right. So people get commissioned, like convention sketches penciled by Dan Jurgens, and then bring it to Brett Breeding and say, like, you know, how much to ink this? And he always turns them down. And he finally, like, put to rest, like, why that is. I guess, like, their working relationship did not end well. And it said, like, he claims that Dan Jurgens told him, you'll never ink my work again. So he says he's more than happy to comply with that. But now has said, like, if, you know, you are a huge 1990 Superman fan, need me to ink this, I will ink it for $2,000. To even consider it. That's like, you know, that opens the door. Like, so minimum $2,000. And there were people who made some funny posts after that. I saw on Norm Ratman's Facebook page that he said he'd be willing to ink a Dan Jurgens commission for $1,000.
And he's been Dan Jurgens inker since, like, I noticed him on Teen Titans when Dan Jurgens redid the Teen Titans.
And Brett Breeding does a lot of penciling work now, right? Like, he's not just like an inker anymore, inking other people's stuff. Or am I confusing him with somebody else?
Are you...
Brett Booth is who I'm confusing him with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Brett Booth is who Norm Ratman inks these days. Because he did the art on, like, the new 52 Titans series.
Right, right. And, yeah. You know, Brett Booth is a great inker himself. I think that, like, people are going to take him up on that offer.
Yeah, I've seen, like, the wads of money that get flashed around at New York Comic Con. So, you know, more power to Brett Breeding if he can get, like, you know, a couple of months, you know, like a month's rent from, I don't know where he lives, from, you know, doing some commissions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he's making it a collector's item by doing that.
That is true, because there'll be much less of them, yeah. That's a right. Good point. Although there'll be more than there are today, since he flat out refuses for the past, you know, decade or so.
Right. Two decades.
Yeah. So what else is on your list? So you've got Telos on your list. What else?
Secret Wars number 6.
Right. I've been waiting forever for this book.
Which we already talked about. And I'm excited about it. And yeah. Next one is Cyborg number 3 by David Walker and Ivan Rice and Joe Prada. This has been really cool. The first issue was great. And it really is debating how human Cyborg is. And it's really interesting. And I suggest everyone gives it a read. The first issue had a really cool scene that was like almost an homage to that Green Lantern, Green Arrow scene where like Hal Jordan comes down and he's this black man talks to him and he says like, you know, you go out and save the blue man, the all these different aliens, but you don't care about the black man. And and so Cyborg number 1 does a similar thing to that, where like that was like a radical thing to say, I guess, in the 70s.
Right.
But Cyborg number 1 has a guy who says like, look, you barely have any body parts. I'm like a, you know, I can't walk. I'm in a wheelchair. Like you jump to other worlds and you can't help give me legs.
Oh,
like,
what
kind of hero are you? And so it was, that was like a really interesting, like a cool, like homage to that, that scene that was like, you know, politically relevant at the time. And now I don't know if it's politically relevant, but it's like an interesting thing to talk about, like, you know, when you have the capabilities as a hero, where do you put your attention? And so it's been a really cool series, and I suggest people pick it up. And Omega Man number 5 is great, or I don't know if it's great, but Omega Man has been great, and number 5 I'm going to be picking up, and I suggest anyone who likes the series, if you like number 1, if you like that free issue they gave, the sneak peek, pick this up, because they might be canceling it after 12, and I hope they don't. Anyone who's like into like Game of Thrones political drama, pick this book up. Next up is Green Arrow number 45 by Ben Percy and Patrick Zercher. This is continuing this storyline where he's teaming up with Tarantula, and the Day of the Dead approaches. It's kind of like a Green Arrow mixed with horror, and it's been great. And there's also Green Arrow Annual that did not make my 20, but I kind of feel like, DC, you're putting 2 Green Arrow comic books out on one week. Like, you know, like, I mean,
you know, the Green Arrow fans are gonna get the comic books there. You gotta get them.
I guess, you know, like it almost seems silly. Like, if I was a Green Arrow fan, I would come in next week to pick up the annual. But who knows? So, you know, if you are a Green Arrow fan, you are spending at least $8 this week. And the last book I'm going to pick up is Jeff Lemire's Plutona number 2. And it was funny, the last time we talked, we described it as Powers meets Sweet Tooth meets Essex County. And Brian Michael Bendis said a very similar thing. And he said it was like Brian Michael, he said it was very similar to Powers. And he said that it reminded him of Essex County in a way. And so like, I thought it was cool that we made that reference and then he made that reference. And he's telling everyone to pick it up because he loves it. Mm-hmm. And you should pick it up. It's great.
Nice.
And the last thing that I left on the table, but I might not be leaving on the table, is This Damn Band by Paul Cornell.
Okay, you're all into that book.
Yeah, it's $4 though. And I feel like I'm going to throw my money at the $3 comics because I don't want comics to go up in price.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, that's why I was like, oh, both of these $6 comics are going to be on Marvel Unlimited, or at the very least, like a 99-cent sale in the not too distant future. And then right. I don't feel silly for spending $6 on it. Comic book prices, am I right?
So, you're right.
One piece of breaking news that I found out after we talked about it, Pepsi will be at New York Comic Con this week. And they will have 1,500 of the Pepsi Perfect bottles, is what they're calling these. And fans dressed as Marty McFly can get it for free. So there is only going to be 6,500 of these bottles made. And they are going to cost $20.15 retail. Get it?
Wow.
2015. Yeah. And but if you are dressed as Marty McFly at New York Comic Con, you can get one free, and it'll basically be queuing up at the beginning of each day. There are requirements to the outfit. You have to either have a red puffy vest on and or the Back to the Future 2 jacket, blue jeans, and also white high top sneakers, and the a digital calculator watch. Optional is the hoverboard, but yeah. According to the Pepsi Perfect booth, which is CP101, that's what you need to wear if you'd like to take home your very own Pepsi Perfect.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I dressed up as Marty McFly last year for Halloween. I might have to go to my storage unit and find that denim shirt.
You should do it. You should do it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Who has the time? So let's see. Okay. And now we're going to end this pretty soon, but I want to talk about Birthright Volume 2 because we both read that this week.
Right. Great.
This book continues to be awesome.
I just looked on Comixology. All the single issues that are out are comprised in the two trades that we have read. So anybody who wants to catch up, you will be right up to date.
And they're all on sale this week for 99 cents.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Yeah. 1 through 10 are on sale for 99 cents this week. I love this trade. Like, the twists weren't as drastic as the ones in the first trade, but the story is progressing nicely. And the more we learn about, Mikey, the main character, the less I like him. And, of course, it's designed to be that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I almost think that his brother is going to be the kind of standout in the end. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's so many twists and I'm like, well, maybe he won't be.
Yeah. You think he's going to be the hero and you're like, oh wait, no, is he going to be an even bigger villain? And you're like, oh wait, I have no idea what's going on. But yeah. And both creators of Birthright will be at New York Comic Con this week. So if you want to get your copy signed by Joshua Williamson and Andrew Bresson, I believe both of them will be there. Man, it'd be awesome to meet them because this is the Image comic I'm most excited about right now. And actually one of the comics just in general, I'm just most excited about right now. I'm like this is getting me I just rushed through this second trade as quickly as I rushed through the first one. I was able to pinpoint where each issue ended a little better, but, this was another one where I was reading it and I was like, well, I'm halfway done with it already.
Yeah, I read it on Saturday, and I was just like, I just plowed through it, and I think it's easy reading, one, and I think two is it's so engrossing that you're like, I just turned a page. You don't even know you're turning pages at times.
Right, and then also out this week was Justice League number 44, which is the latest chapter of Darkseid War. We both read that.
Boom! That was crazy.
This might be the best storyline in this post-New 52 Justice League comic.
I would say so.
I would say it's either this or Throne of Atlantis. Those are the two that I've enjoyed. That's the one I've enjoyed most before this.
Yeah, yeah. This definitely beats Final Crisis. Not Final Crisis. Forever Evil.
Right.
But it builds on Forever Evil.
That's true. Yeah, you can read this without reading Forever Evil, but it definitely makes more sense if you do read Forever Evil.
And do we talk a little spoilers?
Sure.
All right. Well, if anybody doesn't want to listen to the spoilers. Turn the podcast off because we're just talking spoilers here on out.
Yeah.
Darkseid. Dead.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Do you believe it?
No.
I don't either.
Yeah. Come on. I believe he's dead as much as I believe the Joker's dead.
Yeah. He's a god, too.
Right.
And so I just wonder what he transforms into.
Well, it looks like he's transforming everyone around him. Because of these one-shots that are going to be coming out, it looks like Hal Jordan is leading this, like, transformed, like, New Gods Green Lantern Corps. Yeah, like, it should be interesting. I don't really know the details of any of these one-shots that are coming out other than that very cool-looking ad that was at the back of the issue. So, as those come, those are going to all be released this month too. I think they're all coming out like the same week or within 2 weeks of each other.
Yeah, I think they're like peppered like throughout the month,
like a 5th week event even. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, Darkseid War is great. I don't know how many more parts we have left of this, not counting like the one shots. I'm guessing only one or two.
Yeah, I'll be kind of bummed when it's over. The one thing that I thought when I was reading this comic is that, like, I wish that Geoff Johns did more books on smaller characters. And it's because, you know, this new
Powering.
Yeah, I was going to say the Green Lantern-like character, Powering. she is so interesting.
Yeah.
And I just want to know more about her. And I feel like Geoff Johns has so much to tell about her, but like he's going to focus his energy on the Justice League and his Batman graphic novels. But I'm like, oh, come on. Tell a Powering story. Do a Powering graphic novel. So, yeah, that's the one thing that I wished for this. And the other thing, when Geoff Johns finishes Justice League, when he's done with it, Geoff Johns write a Wonder Woman comic because you want to, and I could tell by reading this whole run of Justice League, you want to write a Wonder Woman comic, so just do it.
You're right. Yeah, if you're listening, Geoff Johns, listen to your life coach, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Geoff Johns, I've been reading your comics since you started.
They're like a call. They're like a cry for help. You want to write Wonder Woman?
Yes, yes.
And then you read a few other things. Those are the only things I read this week. You read a few other things too, right?
I did. I read the Crime Bible last week.
Okay.
And so the follow-up was Final Crisis Revelations, also written by Greg Rucka, but art was by Philip Tan. And this really, it's almost a continuation of that series. Or is Books of Blood or Five Books of Blood? I forget the name of the book I read last week. but it was great. It read even better than when I read it the first time, and it almost was like really interesting to read next to Justice League number 44 because of how they were how Greg Rucka fit New Gods into Christianity. And Geoff Johns is doing a little bit of like what New Gods mean in this world,
right?
And I think they play nicely with each other, even though they're from different realities, I guess. I also read Gotham by Midnight Annual Number 1, which just dropped in price on Comixology, so it was like $3 instead of $5 or something like that, or $4 instead of $5. And it was good. It was the Gentleman Ghost and the Spectre.
I always liked that character, the Gentleman Ghost.
Yeah, they played on him nicely. I don't know if it needed a whole annual, but it was a good read. And finally, I read Captain Marvel 15 through 21, the first go-round of Captain Marvel that Peter David did. And it's been pretty good. It's Peter David and Chris Cross does the art.
I love that series when it first came out. Yeah, I think I bought every issue.
Yeah, it holds up fairly well, except Chris Cross really gets into like horrible 90s fashion, like,
yeah, which seemed so great at the time. I was like, oh, somebody who like draws some people like the way they look. But yeah,
it does not hold up like fashion wise.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing was Drax.
Was this where like Drax was like brain dead or?
Yeah, he's kind of like a dummy.
That began when he was resurrected in Silver Surfer around the time of like Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, so like I never knew Drax outside of Guardians of the Galaxy, and like,
gotcha. It was
interesting to see him being played for humor here and that kind of stuff. Where I was like, I don't really care for it in comparison, but that was very interesting. And Jim Starlin does some fill-in art. I don't like Jim Starlin as an artist.
Neither do I. And I, like, as more time goes on, I like him less.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean like I like his older stuff less, but like the more new stuff he makes, the less I like his art.
Yeah. And I feel like all his eyes are like super close together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It bothers me a lot.
Yeah. His art. Yeah. It just doesn't do it for me. I haven't looked at his 70s stuff in a long time, but from like the 90s onward, yeah, every time I see it, I like it less.
So, but that was it. That's what I read. So hopefully I'm going to finish Captain Marvel this week. The Peter David first run. And then I think I'm going to jump on to the second run.
Oh, nice. And so Dave and I will both be at New York Comic Con this week. I will be in costume. If you see a guy who's dressed up in a Green Lantern Deadpool outfit, that might be me. So say hi. Also, continuing the Deadpool theme, I will be dressed up as Zenpool. Deadpool's, you know, like pacifist personality from Axis. And I was also going to dress up as Dr. McNinja, the from the, you know, the black sheep of his ninja family turned doctor, and Irish ninjas at that, because they're the Mick ninjas. And I was going to dress up as Spider-Man one day, but I think I'm going to leave that home and dress up as Marty McFly. I really want one of these Pepsi bottles.
Nice, nice. Yeah.
And Dave will be dressed up as Terrence, intern of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. T-shirt, jeans, you'll see me.
Cardigan.
Maybe.
Surly attitude.
Watch it.
Yeah.
You don't want to piss this intern off.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Have an awesome Tuesday night. If you see us at New York Comic Con, please say hi. And we'll be back next week with our report. Expect like a long podcast next week. You're getting off easy this week, but next week, don't be surprised if it's double-sized. All right.
Next
bye, everybody.
Week, homework.
Homework. Homework. Open up your ears. There's going to be a lot of listening to do. That sounded weird.